Am I on?
Perfect. So anybody stand for a second? This will be the last time till the end, maybe. Say, hold up your Bible. Say, this is my Bible. It's the living Word of God. And I believe it on purpose. Amen. You may be seated. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, that we can come here, Lord, and hear your word. We thank you, Father, Lord, that our ears are in tune to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's always an honor when a pastor asked about sharing. So I'm just going to go to Romans 4:16 just for a second. Daytona told me she could keep up with me tonight because I talk fast. Could you have a New King James? Thanks. So therefore, is it of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Say, that's me.
That's me.
We are of the faith of Abraham. Amen. You know, so I was going to look at when Abraham went to sacrifice and share a little bit. I know usually I look at, you know, David. As you know, me and Pastor Steve both like looking at David's life. But we're going to look at Abraham for a second. I said to my wife, I said it was funny because I was listening to, not that this is a marriage thing, but I was listening to a marriage thing, and Mac Hammond was talking about marriage. And he says, we are the father, you know, the father of Abraham is our faith. Or the father of Abraham, that's who he is. He's the father of our faith. He goes, and Abraham and had relations until he was 140 years old. So I said to Kathy, it's me. And she's like, some of you guys might get that anyway. So this is not, like I said, this is not marriage. I'm just going to look at Genesis 12 for a second. Genesis 12, like I said, this is when Abraham went to Genesis 12, 1 to 4. It says, now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of the country, out of thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abraham departed, and the Lord, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I love verse 2, because as Pastor said, blessed, to be blessed means empowered to prosper. So God says, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and those, I'm also going to empower you to prosper. That's us. We are blessed. We are empowered to prosper. Amen. We are empowered because the blessing of God is within us. And I like the fact that we, you know, sometimes we wonder, what does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean, blessed? I'm blessed. Bless you. You know, you sneeze at work, somebody says, God bless you. And it's like, sometimes we use it so much, we realize or we forget about what it means. We are empowered to prosper. Everywhere we go, the kingdom of God goes with us. You know, and I like the fact that he says this, and because we are children of faith, of the seed of faith, we are children of Abraham. He is our father. As he was empowered to prosper, we are empowered to prosper. Amen. You know, I like the fact that, you know, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you as a believer. The God's way of doing things is within you. That's who we are. When we walk into a room, the empowerment to prosper is within us. God's way of doing things is within us. And that's who it is. Like, that's who we are. We are empowered to bring a blessing wherever we go. And it's a fact that as we go and we build relationships and different things, that there's a blessing. There's the kingdom has to be released from within us. And that's just God's way of doing things. And as I'm going to get to, one of the ways that God does things is that God speaks. And that's what we are to do. We are to speak. Amen? Also, it's going to look at Genesis 22. This is when he actually heads out. So Genesis 22. Verse 2. Thanks. There we go. And he said, take now your son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and arose up, and they went into the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, I love this, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. This is a phenomenal statement, because God told him, you're going to take your son, your only son. Well, he had two, but the son of covenant, the son of promise, the son I promised to you. He said, you're going to sacrifice him. And Abraham said, yep. And he went. But he says to the men, his servants, you two stay here. Me and the boy are going to go yonder, and we're going to go worship. 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 Interesting word. I'm sacrificing him. But in my mind's eye, I'm going to go forth and worship to God. But me and the boy are both coming back. Go on yonder and worship, and we will come again to you. It says in one scripture, we are coming back to you. So go to the next one. And so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac. Makes the kid carry the burnt offering. Not only see the sacrifice, you're also carrying it. Because Abraham's like older. You know, but it's also a foreshadow of the cross. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went, both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto his father, unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire in the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Dad, where's the offering? It's you. But he doesn't say that. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went on, both of them went together. The other thing about that, can you just go back to that one for a sec? You know, we know that as he goes, he provides a ram. But this also, if you look at it in Hebrew, is God will provide himself, comma, as the sacrifice. In the beginning was the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. God will provide himself. You get it? God will provide himself. Jesus came to die. God will provide himself a sacrifice. So next verse. They came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood on the altar, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by the thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering instead for his son. So I'm just going to look at a couple of things about this, because I think it's really exciting, and I think it can be really challenging. And sometimes when we read things, we just read through it. And, you know, I know with me sometimes, you just read it once, you miss some things. You know, it was funny because I was thinking about this, like, just today. And I think me and Kathy talked about it, was it today or something? And she's like, imagine, she goes, if God told you to sacrifice one of the boys. And she goes, like, you'd have to have a good convince. Because my wife's a strong Italian woman. If I said to her, I'm taking one of the boys and I'm going, she'd be like, unless she heard of God from God herself. You know, it's amazing. It says that he went, got up in the morning, and went. And, you know, he just says he went, took it, brought two of his lads, and off he went. And I'm sure Sarah knew what he was doing, but trusted him. But the first step was that he was submitted. He had submission. He, because it says, take now thy son, thy only son. You know, it's the fact that he submitted to what God told him to do. He allowed himself to be submitted to the plan of God. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and adultery, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And he's also rejected from being king. It's sin, Rebellion is, we think of rebellion, oh, you know, really, really nasty sometimes. All he did was he rejected the word of the Lord. Sometimes, you know, as New Testament believers, we are not under judgment. We are not under all that condemnation and everything. But I know before I got saved, there's a lot of times I heard people preach the gospel to me, and I rejected it. I would not submit to the word of the Lord. I would not submit to that. And I was walking. I had to get to the point 30 years ago that I submitted to the word of God in my life when somebody said, you know that Jesus came and died for you. I had to be first submitted my life unto him as my Lord. And then all the rest of it, because it seems like not that there's sacrifices every day, but there are times in our life that we have to submit to what God's told us to do. And it's not that we're in rebellion or we're in witchcraft. I'm not going to go to that extreme. But there are times when we have to make a choice. I know Pastor says when he graduated, he was ready to go and God called him to the ministry. He had to submit, make a choice. When we come up here the first time, it was really good. It was exciting, all that. We were doing well, got called back, went back down south, realized we missed God, came back up here again. And at that time, it was a choice. It was a submission because we had realized at that point that we quit our job, came up here with nothing. Because we knew God called us to be here. You know, it's funny. You can be to a place where God speaks to you and you can reject. You can reject what God has called you to do. You know, where I am, I'm helping out, and one of the young guys that was there said to me, he asked me a question. He was asking me about pastoring, and I think he had to go to 4 years of college and, you know, Bible school and all this stuff there. And I said, well, if you're in town, I said, we have a Bible college, you know, at the church. I said, but you got to make sure that the call of God's on your life. Are you called? Are you called? If he believes he's called the pastor. And I'm like, okay, well, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, talk to my pastor. There's nothing wrong with that. If you know you're called to it, it's a good thing. He goes, well, I keep saying no. I said, like, what are you asking me? Like, why are you asking me? If you know there's a calling of God upon your life, whether it be to be a housewife, to be an architect, to be a pastor, either whatever it is, if you're rejecting that, why are you rejecting that? Like, if you got to submit to what God's called you to do. You know, it's like us. We come up here, and we had to submit what we believe God called us up here. And, you know, and it's been challenging, as some of you know, the last, like, it's been, 17 years since we've been up here now. It's been challenging. But it's been exciting. It's been fulfilling. Spiritually speaking, it's been a blast. It's been a good time. You know, there are times when we have to catch ourselves. We have to, you know, it was 3 days that he walked. And you figure there are times when he probably looked over, looked at the two servants, looked at Isaac, looking for a mountain. He goes, I'll tell you, when you get there, you're going to know. He had no idea where he was going. He just knew he was supposed to go. And then he saw the mountain. And then he had to keep walking. You know, with us, like I said, we were called up here realizing, you know, that we had no really what plan for God called us to do except come alongside here. You know, and I've had people say about, you know, in the ministry, you know, it was exciting. I got my BA, you know, my bachelor last year. It's all exciting. People, are you called to the ministry? I'm like, no. I love what I'm doing. I love just coming here, being a layman, as they say, a layman. I don't like the term layman because layman means ignorant. But you know, it just means that you're the guy in the pew. In this room, there's like four people in ministry. One's an administrator. There's a calling upon our life. And there's two in full-time ministry. The rest of us are laymen. Like I said, I don't like the term. That's what they use, but it means ignorant. So that's why I don't like it, because they didn't want people to be ignorant of the word. But I love not necessarily being a full-time ministry. I love going to work, coming home, and doing what pastors ask us to do. You want to do this? Sure. You want to do this? You want to share Wednesday? Sure. You want to teach Bible class next week? Sure. Whatever, Pastor, we're here. And I love that. I find it challenging. I'm happy doing that. Is it without thing? No, it's all got challenges. It's got to be submitted to what God's called you to do. Just because you come up and you can share, because I know a fellow that shared one time. He was a great businessman. He was a salesman when cell phones were starting out. He was making probably 100 grand a year selling cell phones, working for Rogers. He loved it. He got up and preached on a Wednesday night. And it was actually quite good. He had people talking to him about going into ministry. And he's like, I remember, he was challenged. He goes, it doesn't sit. I said, well, just because you can preach on a Wednesday or teach doesn't necessarily mean you're called into ministry. You have to submit what God's called you to do. And it was a fact that we were taught, me and him were talking that time. It's like the Old Testament. There's kings, priests, and kings, priests, and prophets. And it's like the king was there to fund the ministry. David supplied all the stuff. He never did any sacrifice in the temple, but he supplied the gold. He supplied everything. And so this fellow decided that he had to be a king in the sense that he was going to fund the ministry, not be in the ministry. And, you know, we got to submit what God's called us to do and make sure we stay in that. The prophets talked about rejecting the word in 1 Samuel. Now, as believers, we have to make sure we don't reject the word spoken over us. We have to make sure we follow the word. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning. As believers, that's our first choice. If you see a problem, go to the word first. First and foremost, before anything. In the beginning was the word. When you wake up in the morning, in the beginning is the word. When you go to work, your first coffee break, I like to read. In the beginning is the word. You get a situation in the beginning. We had some things about some of our stuff the last few months. In the beginning, what does the word say? What does the word say? You know? And it's like, I know one time, the Lord's spoken to Kathy, talking to Kathy, it was a few weeks ago, and he said, keep your faith on the field. No. Don't take your faith off the field because she's bleeding for something. And the enemy will come by. And he's like, the Lord said, don't take your faith off the field. Leave your faith where it is. It's all good. And there's more where that will come from. And it was like, there's more where that will come from. It's like, you got to have the word first and foremost. Submission is strength under control. Because sometimes we think about submission and we think about, oh, it's a bad word. It's not. Strength under control, right? It's under control of what the word, it's under control of what God has called for us. The next step I have is sensitivity. He says, go to a mountain where I will show you. No details, just go. And when you get there, you'll know. And it says that when he got to the land of Moriah, he knew. He saw the mountain afar off. It's like he just sensed it. It's like they didn't have the inward witness like we did, but he knew when he got there. You know, it's like you might get offered a new job, but are you sensitive to what God has called? This last month or so, I've been, I shared there, I think a couple weeks ago, but, I'm helping at a place, and there was an opportunity to go to for a ministry job, and it was like, I was looking at it, and the person that would be overseeing the position in Thunder Bay was in town, and we were just talking about it, and I'm like, oh, so I would be, this job, like, submits to you. She's like, yep. She goes, you can apply for it? I'm like, well, she goes, we'll put it in a resume. I went home, and because it's me, and part of me, I love being in ministry, I was like, that's the cat that said, I bet you I could probably have that job. It pays very, very well. It's in ministry. It's exciting. It's working with people, And I was like, no. And, the word says that in the multitude of wisdom, there's like a multitude of counselors, you get good wisdom. I shared a little bit, I think, with Pastor Steve, we were talking about it. And with my wife, it's like, no, it's just, no, it wasn't for me. And, it was like, in my natural mind, I'm like, this would be good. This would be good. This would be good. But it's not for me. And then somebody asked me, actually yesterday, I said, the job's not for me, or I'm not for the job. I said, it's a good job. Just because something's good for your life does not mean it's God. Right? Paul wanted to go to Asia. He's like, I'm going to Asia. I'm going to go preach the gospel. Sounds notable. Let's go preach the gospel. And the Lord spoke to him and said, no, you're not going to Asia. But somebody went to Asia. John wrote the 7 churches in Asia. Somebody went, but it wasn't Paul. Paul went somewhere else. Just because something looks good, you have to be sensitive, amen? You have to be sensitive to what God is speaking to you. Just because that man looks nice because he's 6'2" and has brown hair does not mean he's for you. Or her, okay? Just because something's good doesn't mean it's God. Sometimes we have a hard time because it's very easy to fulfill the flesh when we see the right job or whatever. I've met people, of 30 years of being saved, I've met people that have gone to another city for a job, and you talk to them a few months later, it's like, well, what church are you at? I haven't found one yet. Then why did you move? Why did you affect your whole spirituality, your whole feeding of the word for a few dollars more? That does not make sense to me. Because I didn't come here for a job. I came here for Faith City Church, and God supplied the job. Right? Some people, like I said, people in my family thought I was crazy. And I still remember somebody said, that was pretty stupid, wasn't it? Naturally speaking, yes. Spiritually speaking, no. Like I said, it's been a blast. So we have to be submissive to the word, and that will affect our sensitivity. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We need to be sensitive to the will of God in our lives. We need to understand what God has for us. We need to be sensitive to what he has. This scripture, I remember reading, it was last year in pastor's class, we were talking about the spirit man. And Brother Hagin says, renewing our mind is one of the biggest things, the most important things Christians need to do. Because it's so easy for us to fulfill the flesh. Just like people in the world, it's so easy. We might not fulfill the flesh like going out and having a smoke, doing a little bit of doobie on the side. But it's easy to fulfill the flesh to look at something which is not the perfect will of God. But that we can walk an acceptable will of God, which is okay, but it's not the perfect will of God. Don't we want, as believers, want to walk in the perfect will of God for our life? But just because I'm called to work at the Red Schoolhouse doesn't mean you're called to work at the Red Schoolhouse. Amen? We have to not compete with each other either. You know, like we said, we're not all. I've heard that less than 3% of believers are called to full-time ministry. So we're not all called there. You know, but we have to be sensitive to what God has for us. We have to be transformed. We have to allow God to transform us. And we can only do that by being sensitive to what he has to say to us. Amen? You know, I know the other thing is the third thing. These are all S's, by the way. So we have submission, sensitivity, and separation. The third step is separation. It says when verse 5, when Abraham saw the place, he left his servants behind. There has to be a point where you will separate yourself from those that are around you. When you start to get close to your destiny, you are going to have to leave people behind. If you're a new believer, you will find this out. If you've been saved for a while, you would probably have already found this out. When I got saved, I had to leave people behind. There's people that I cannot, because I cannot have fellowship with them. Like I said, I can have fellowship more with somebody like Miss Grace, because we're both believers. We can speak life to each other. She can speak words to life with me. But if I'm around a guy who's the same age as me in the world, I don't get life. I can talk about music. I can talk about cars. I don't really talk about books, because I read different books. But he cannot give me life. He can give me entertainment. He can give me an emotional, oh, that's kind of nice. But we need, as believers, need to separate ourselves and stay around those. That's why when I had a chance to look at a job, I came and talked to Pastor Steve. Not specifically, we were just talking. And I talked to my wife. Because we have to realize that you will have to separate people out of your life. Some things will be by choice, and some things will just naturally happen. Like I said, the fellow that was one of my best friends from high school growing up, I have coffee with him once in a while if I'm down south. But our friendship just grew apart. And it wasn't because, it's because he's not saved. We can't get life. We can't speak life to him. You know, and I've had people that, well, Jesus, you know, all these people. Jesus did not fellowship with them. He ministered to them. There's a difference. He had his 12, and even then he would go away with 3. And then when he wanted to, he'd go away by the Father by himself. We have to be so careful who we fellowship with. You know, coming up here, like we had friends that we had very, very close friends as believers. And I miss them, and not that we haven't replaced them, because there's people here with the same mindset. But it was like, and that was one of the big things is coming up. That's why I love when I come here and I talk to Pastor Ken and, you know, Pastor Steve, and I've gotten, you know, the last, you know, couple of months got to know, you know, Brother Craig. I love it, because I can go, you can have fun, talk about things, and still talk about and focus about the things of God, amen? So don't be afraid to separate. If you're a new believer and you're sensing God, don't be afraid to separate. Like I said, I know people, young guys I've talked to, they're you know, believers, some of them have been saved, you know, a couple of years. I'm dating this girl. Oh, I first question. If you're telling me this, I am going to ask you questions. Are they saved? Well, as soon as you say that, What? Why are you dating? Well, don't give me the, well, get him saved, but we're dating. Not going to happen. Because you'll be more likely to go that way than for you to bring her this way. And I'm like, oh, you know. And I've had these guys, and some of these guys are now not even serving God, and not with the same girl. Because the guy they met was serving God, even though they weren't, there's something about him. Then as they're dating, he got drawn this way, got back into an old lifestyle, and she's like, well, that's not who I met, and it's gone. Now he's like, you know, like, well, come back to God. You know, I know one of the classes, one night we're talking about that, and I just used it as an example, and somebody kind of looked at me and smiled, and said, that happened today, kind of thing. We have to separate ourselves. We are believers. There is supposed to be something different to us, and we have to make sure that we hang around those that can speak life to us. Amen? It's not about me speaking into your life. It's about the fact that we can speak. I love it when I'm on duty with Andrew. Getting to know, we talk about music, but we talk about things of God as well. It's exciting. Amen? We have to be sensitive to those, and we have to separate and let go of the things from the past. We are not the same. I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago. We have to also separate in a mindset that is done. That's the old man, it's passed on. I'm going to go quickly because I'm running out of time. The fourth step is that we have to set our stage. Abraham brought the wood, the fire, and what he thought was a sacrifice. Well, you have to build the altar. You can't let anybody else build it. When God tells you to do something, you have to do it. If he's telling you to set your stage, then you have to do what you have to do. If he wants you to do a resume somewhere, then you have to do it. I'm believing for God. I'm believing for a job. And you sit there on your couch all day. Well, put out some resumes. Look at some want ads. We have to do something. We have to get up and pray. If you're not sure, if you're not sure about something, you have to set the stage. You have to get up and pray for your needs. Like Pastor says, I can come in agreement, but I can't pray for Jerry's needs. Jerry's got to pray for his needs, right? You speak to your own mountain. David came out, looked around, and said, why is this uncircumcised Philistine speaking to us? And his brothers ridiculed him. What are you doing here? Well, I'm going to do what you guys can't. I'm going to take off his head because I know my covenant, right? I'm going to set the stage. We're going to get rid of this once and for all. And he stuck at us. You know, I love the fact that he picked up five stones, five smooth stones that were smoothed by the water. Five stones. I used to wonder why, and I heard it's because Goliath had brothers. Because you read later on, there's other stones, there's other giants. He picked up five, hit the first one, took Goliath's own sword. Where was the shield bearer that was supposed to be in front of him at this point? Obviously, he was gone. He ran. He takes his own sword, cuts off his head, and then picks it up. He set the stage. He was already anointed as king, went back to the sheep because I got an anointing on me. I'm going to be king. Samuel's gone. Well, I guess I'll go back to the sheep. God will anoint you to do something. Go back. Do what you're to do until God calls you to the next step. Like Brother Hagin says, right? It's better to be one step behind God than one step in front of him. Because you're in front of him, you don't know where you're going. But you got to set your stage. Cut off your own Goliath's head. Cut it off yourself, right? Set your stage. I wake up in the morning, I don't feel good. Speak to your own mountain. Jesus said, the Father knows what you have need, but you need to speak it. You need to tell him. God doesn't know what your problems are. He already does know. You know, I love the fact when Pastor Steve spoke about, you know, enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. It's like, you know, if you spend 30 minutes in prayer, and I used to pray the first 25 minutes were about how bad I was or how big the problem was, and then 2 minutes of, thank you, Lord. Now it's like 27 minutes of thank you, Jesus, because he already knows the problem. I don't need to tell God the problem. I need to tell that's what I shared with somebody this week. Don't tell God about the mountain. Tell mountain about your God. Amen? We need to set our own stage. My healing's not for my wife. My healing's for me to acquire. My redemption was for me to require. My healing's for me to require. Same thing, it's the same cross, same Calvary, same victory, amen? We need to set our own stage. Also, sacrifice. We all have a sacrifice. I love it in 1 Kings. We don't turn to it. In 1 Kings 18:33, this is where Elijah was there, set the sacrifice. Prophets of Baal yelled out, and Elijah made fun of them. Yell louder, dance around, and they all did. Nothing happened. Then he said, bring some water pots in the middle of a drought. Bring some water pots, pour it on. Bring some more water pots, pour it on. He did it 12 times. He said, okay, Lord, are you God? Boof. Fire, sacrifice, stone, everything was gone. And then he said, if God's the one that answered by fire, then serve him. You know, the fire doesn't fall if there's no sacrifice. We have to realize that the ultimate sacrifice has already been paid. But when it comes down to the fact of, okay, Lord, what am I going to do today? If I'm sensitive to you, I've set the stage for what you want to do in my life, and there might be a sacrifice. The sacrifice might be, I want you to pick up so-and-so on the way to church. That could be, sometimes your sacrifice could be that simple. I want you to buy his lunch. Could be that simple. Sacrifices don't always have to be big. Sometimes you always think, oh, I got to pay the $80,000 for the church windows. Maybe not. Maybe 1,000 of us can pay 80 bucks. You know, sacrifices don't have to be big. Sometimes they can be small. Sometimes it could be the fact of getting up 10 minutes earlier to get the coffee on for your wife. I don't do that because she's usually up before I am. But you know what I mean? Sometimes sacrifice is just a little thing. See what God has for you. But if it doesn't move you, it won't move God. You know? And the other one is the switch. It's the ability to transition. Because there was a switch there. He went from Isaac to the ram. He saw the ram. You know, I like the fact that there are times in my life when I had to do a switch. Because I had to go from a transitional pace because God's called us somewhere and get rid of the tradition. My mom was, you know, a believer, you know, before she went. But I had to not do things the way mom does things. I had to do things the way God wants me to do things. You know, I had to do things. I had to not go to church where she went to church, kind of thing. There's a place where you have to do a transition. You have to realize that there's a switch. You know, I remember we had a nephew, and he was going to a church, and then I was talking to him, and I'm like, where are you going now? And he told me where he was going. And I said to him, I said, it's so exciting that you decided where God's called you to go, because for years he went evangelical. He went to a church with his mom. But now he goes, oh, I feel God calling me here, and he was doing well and playing worship, and I was like, and I said to him, I said, it's so exciting that you went to a place, not because mom goes there. I didn't come here because mom goes here, because my mom never went to Thunder Bay. You know, it's a traditional. Traditional thing would have been for me to stay working where I was working and not come here. Sometimes we've got to realize, because we're sensitive to God, we know that there's going to be a switch, because we know that God has talked to us. And so sometimes your switch could be a different city. Sometimes your switch could be not sitting there, but sitting over there. So maybe Jerry is supposed to sit there next week. No, I'm only kidding. But sometimes we got to realize that God, you might think something's here. And like I said, not everything that's good is of God. Sometimes you got to be willing to realize that there could be something. God could have something for you. Amen? I remember when I was single, saved. I hadn't seen her for about a year and a half because of some things we won't get into right now. But it was... I hadn't seen her about a year and a half, and so I'm like, okay, because I was going to a different church. And I said to my mom, I said, yeah, I said, oh, you know, I went out with this girl. And it was okay. Like, I met her at church. It's all good that way. And she says to me, I haven't seen her in a year and a half. What about Kathy? Thanks a lot. Just ruined my date. Because she's like, what about Kathy? I'm like, oh, what about Kathy? And the Lord said to me, what about Kathy? You know, but we have to be able to really realize we have to have a switch. And one of the things about going back to the church was I sat there, and because I was going to a certain kind of church and my divorce went through. And so I talked to my pastor, who was really good. I enjoyed him. He was a nice guy, and we were talking. And he's like, you know, I'll never be able to marry you. You won't be able to minister here and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay. You know, so I was praying. And I actually heard felt an arm embrace me, and the Lord said, only time I've ever heard the audible voice of God in my life. He said, go back to the altar. And I was like, go back to the altar? What do you mean go back to the altar? Well, at this building is where I had gotten baptized. It's where I had gotten healed when my grandmother took me there. So I was like, oh, that's what I took. So I went to the church. And I remember at the end, the pastor was like, oh, I wept during the service. It was phenomenal. God spoke to me about some stuff. And the pastor was like, are you here for a visit? Or if you need to come back, we need to talk. So I'm like, surprise! I think we need to talk. Oh, okay. But it was really good, and it all turned out, and we ended up getting married. But You have to be willing to have a transition, because God will speak to you about some certain things. Amen? But it's, and the last, the seventh step is a substitution. Because there's a substitution for every need. God has a substitute. For my sin, he has salvation. Amen? For my stuff I used to do, he is my righteousness. For my sickness, he has healing. He has a substitution for everything we have. I was in poverty, now I'm in prosperity. Hallelujah. You don't look like it. Doesn't matter what I look like. It matters what the word says. Amen. There's a substitution for everything that God has. Luke 2:14 says, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. There is peace in my life because I'm with God. Because of Christmas time, when the angels were, spoke. But there's peace in my life because God came and there's a substitute. He has given me righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. There are times when I might not feel happy, but the joy of the Lord is my strength because my joy comes from the inside, amen? Joy comes from your spirit. It doesn't come out of your emotions. Happiness is an emotion, amen? There are times when you might feel like you're afraid, but he has not given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind, amen? There's a substitute when you're going through something. You might think, I'm all alone and lonely. God says, I am with you. I am the father to the fatherless. I am a husband to the widow. He didn't make Eve because Adam was alone or lonely. He made her because he was alone. He wasn't lonely. He had God. But he goes, but he's alone. He was the only one of his kind, so I'm going to give him something else. But he has a substitute for every need you have. There's a substitute, amen? So if you don't know him, come to him because he is the substitute. He has taken everything that you might not realize and he has nailed it to the cross. He has fulfilled a destiny for you, amen? He has everything we need as long as we can submit to the plan of God in his life, as long as we're sensitive to the leading in his life, as long as we realize that he might have a switch for you in his life and something new. His switches are always better for something new, amen? You know, it says that the substitution might take time to grow in your life. And that's the thing. When you're believing for something, you're praying for something, God will always move through a person, not just with finances. It could be a job. It could be something. God has to move through people. So if you're waiting for an answer, remember the first time Daniel prayed, it says it took about 3 minutes, and the answer came in Daniel 9. Daniel 12, it took 21 days. But God, but the angel showed up and said, the first day the answer, I was on my way. So just keep believing because God's already answered it. Naturally speaking, we might not see it, but the answer's there. The answer is yes and amen. If it's according to the word, amen. I don't, when people ask questions, well, will God answer yes? If it's in the word, the answer is yes. I don't see it. It doesn't matter what you see. It matters what the word says, amen. And that's the thing. So that was my 6 points, or six S's on the father of Abraham. Just realize that sometimes you might not realize you see something, but you just keep on going to your Moriah, and you will get there, amen? He always has a better plan. There was a better plan for Abraham, and there's a better plan for us as well. Now, I love the fact that anybody realize that Moriah is also Golgotha? It's a place where Jesus was crucified. It was on Mount Moriah. No, sorry. Mount Moriah is where they built the temple. The tabernacle was built on Mount Moriah, which is amazing. You know, and I think it's exciting. I know that one song that she taught, and she said about the mercy seat. You know, it's exciting. And I always used to think that the veil was ripped for God to come out. God's everywhere. The veil was ripped so we could go into him. So we could go into the presence of God. Amen. He has a place for us. Amen. A resting place that we can have access to. And I think it's exciting. Amen. Amen. You can stand. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. Father, we thank you, Lord, that if there's any here that do not know you, do not know your peace, do not know you, that they can just realize that they all they have to do is say, Lord, here am I, and I know you're here for me. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can come to a place where we know that you always have something better for us, that we can continue to a place of fulfillment in you, and that no matter if we've been saved 3 minutes or 30 years, that there's always more for us. We go from glory to glory to glory, to bring you glory and to bring you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be released.